Okay, everyone, I think it's time to gather back together. Okay. All right, I'm ready to begin. Are you ready to listen? I hope so. Okay. Well, what I'm going to share with you today is going to dovetail very nicely with what you just heard in the Bible teaching this morning. Yesterday, I shared the big picture of God's heart for the nations and the fact that he has a plan to have people from every nation come into his kingdom and worship him. And that one of the means that God is doing in this day and age is by sending people away from home, close to where Christians are, so they can hear the good news of Jesus. And then through those that come to Christ, the gospel can spread among the nations. The key to international student ministry is the practice of biblical hospitality. If you want to really understand the basic of what is involved in being able to serve international students, it is the practice of hospitality. You're familiar with this scripture, I'm sure, that says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without knowing it." Now, one of the important things to understand from this text is the word strangers. Who are these strangers specifically that God is telling us not to forget to show hospitality to? In the Old Testament, this word is translated in four ways. It can be translated as aliens, foreigners, sojourners, or strangers. In the Old Testament, the meaning of the word stranger was very specific to mean someone who had transferred from one culture to another. So don't think about the person who's a little bit odd down the block. Okay, don't think about the person who you just have never met. This God expressed in the aspect of hospitality this desire of people being welcomed who would be outsiders. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus did expand the concept of hospitality to other outsiders, not just those who were foreign-born. But you can see in Luke 14, Jesus said, "The people who cannot repay you, other outsiders to the kingdom of God, are included in the concept of strangers." But it certainly continued to include that concept of someone away from home. And what is it that someone away from home most misses? They miss their home. So what we understand God wants to do in the practice of hospitality is give those who are outsiders a new home. And that's why it ties together so well with the message you just heard. When we have a family that loves God and worships God, and God is incorporated into our families, and then we open our family to those who are outsiders to the kingdom of God, and those who are outsiders as strangers who don't have a family, and God sets the lonely in families, and international students are some of those who experience that loneliness, then families become the hub and the basis by which international students are served. So that scripture, by the way, is not a suggestion. I know some of you may not feel like you have a gift of hospitality, but really in the Bible, hospitality is not listed as a gift. It's listed as a practice. We can see in Romans 12, which gives a summary of some critical practices of Christians, it says to practice hospitality, that is a characteristic of the people of God with the heart of God, is that we want to welcome outsiders. We want to welcome foreign-born people into our lives and into our homes. Hospitality is really about welcoming people into your family and often includes sharing food and drink and meaningful conversation. That is the basics of hospitality. And we know the story from Hebrews 13:2 is about Abraham when three people were passing by. He thought they were three people. They were actually angelic visitors. But he then invited them in for a meal. And in the context of that meal, he heard the word of God again. God spoke to him again. And throughout the scripture, people who practice hospitality have encounters with God. God is very purposeful to want us to know that there's a blessing associated with hospitality. Remember this idea of having an angelic visitation, encountering God in a fresh way? Regularly that happens. The widow of Zarephath was a person who was down to her last meal. And she then invited Elisha to come into her home and gave that last meal. And God gave a supernatural provision of food that lasted for a long time. We think about the Shunammite woman. By the way, I'm giving you your Old Testament test survey here. There's a woman from Shunem who invited Elisha to come in, and this woman was unable to conceive children up until that time, but the word of God came to her that she would have a child. And she had a child, and then later on that child died and was resurrected to life. I mean, these are powerful stories. So God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to encounter him when we practice hospitality. He wants those that are lonely and those that are outsiders, those who are culturally far from us and from the kingdom of God, to experience his love. It's a beautiful combination. That's why we're told practice hospitality. And then here's an interesting verse, right? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, we're not supposed to forget and we're not supposed to grumble. I wonder why those two things would be listed along with hospitality, because they're the things we would tend to do. We would tend to forget because we're busy enough with our own lives. We have enough on our plates. How can I think about doing another type of ministry? But this is the beauty of hospitality ministry, is you really don't have to do something different than what you're doing. You just have to include someone into what you're doing. But grumbling, why would people grumble? Well, I remember a woman in the scripture who grumbled. Her name was Martha. And she grumbled because she thought it was putting so much of a burden on her, that having Jesus in her home was such a burden. You can imagine that, right? It was such a burden because her concept of hospitality was not about Jesus, actually. I know she was trying to serve him, but it was about providing the meal. Jesus said the woman who was really hospitable in the story was Mary, because she was giving her attention to Jesus and listening to what he had to say. That is at the heart of hospitality, is the relationship. It's not about the meal. The meal is the secondary thing. It just provides the facilitation of the gathering with one another and the conversation. Sometimes I go to visit returned international students in their countries, and when I go, there's a very high level of concept of hospitality in other countries, where you're supposed to be treated like a king or a queen, you know, that basically, as the guest, they want to give the very best to you. So they might prepare like a big meal. They want to take me sightseeing, go around the city, show me all the sights. And I tell them, listen, I didn't come all the way here because I was interested in seeing all the sights of the city. I came here because I'm interested in talking with you. And sometimes when we're sightseeing, we can't talk. Can we have a meal? Can we sit down and talk together? And that relieves them sometimes, although they might feel a little bit funny, like, oh, no, I'm supposed to be serving. I said, no, this is why I'm here. And that's why people come into our homes with hospitality, not so that we do all these things for them, so we can talk to them, so someone can show an interest in their life beyond, oh, where are you from, when did you arrive, and when are you going home? Those are the most common questions that international students are asked, and then the conversation dies usually after that. So we need to be able to get past that superficial conversation to what's on their hearts. Where is God working in their life? And here's scriptures that make very clear God's heart for us to practice hospitality. When a foreigner resides with you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as native-born. Love them as yourself, for you are foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That was, God wanted us to welcome them, to be part of our culture, part of our families. And here's a summary verse of Jesus' ministry from Luke. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Really, when you think about, if you go through the book of Luke and you look at the number of encounters that Jesus has around meals in people's homes, it is amazing. You think about Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. You think about Jesus and the sinful woman coming anointing him while he's at Simon the Pharisee's house. You think about Matthew holding the banquet after he starts to follow Jesus. You think about the Last Supper. You think about Jesus on the road to Emmaus. I mean, there's story after story of Jesus being at a meal and something meaningful happening. So this is amazing that I think if we want to follow Jesus' style of ministry, I would say eat a lot with people. Okay. Now, is that simple enough? You know, I like to talk about international student ministry as missions on the bottom shelf. That is, you know, missions on the top shelf is sell your home, learn another language, move overseas, you know, face many challenges in culture adjustment. Okay, that's good, but have a meal with an international student? Hey, let's bring it way down. I think all of you could do that. Now, you could say, well, my house is not big enough. Well, that is not an obstacle, really. You say, my house is not clean enough. And that's a lot of work for me to clean my house. Get the kids to help clean the house. I mean, if people are coming to look at how clean your house is, you know, I understand the Martha mentality. Our house is a reflection of who we are. And we want people to think well of us. But you know, life is messy. And people who come with an idea that we don't have messes in our life, if we have to be perfect in order to serve people, we're never going to serve people. We got to get over that kind of shame factor. Okay, if you want to clean, go ahead. But don't use that as an obstacle. Another obstacle would be, I'm not a good cook. You can do types of cooking like gourmet cooking, that you see one of these shows on TV and you know it's incredible the type of meals they prepare, or you could go back to the 50s and prepare meatloaf and or spaghetti. You know, if you find one or two meals that you can just prepare simply, non-complicated meals that don't cause a lot of stress for you, that can make it easier for you to do hospitality. Instead of trying to figure out, okay, what is this massive meal I'm going to prepare? No, make it simple. Okay, so here's our mission, to extend life-changing hospitality and friendship to international students out of reverence for Jesus. One other thing I want to tell you about hospitality is really important, is to understand that when we practice hospitality, we picture the gospel. If you think about Jesus, when he wanted to show us what the kingdom of heaven was like, he often used the picture of a banquet or a wedding feast. He said, that's what it's going to be like. If you think one of the stories I missed in John 15 was the prodigal son coming home and being welcomed with a great feast. God is the great host of heaven. You know, we are being invited into his home, not temporarily, but to live forever. We get to move in. It's not like a visit for 2 or 3 days like we usually ask people to do when students first arrive. We get to permanently live in Jesus' home. Not only that, but we're invited to this meal. And not only are we invited to the meal, but we are told that Jesus Christ himself is going to serve us the meal. That's also found in Luke chapter 12, where it says, you'll sit down and Jesus is going to say, how's that going to feel? That's going to feel a little bit to me like when Peter had his feet washed. Say, no, Lord, you're not supposed to serve me the meal. I'm supposed to serve you the meal. But the scripture tells that Jesus is going to serve us a meal in heaven. So when we serve a meal to other people and we welcome them into our home, we are picturing the gospel to international students. This is very powerful. So I talked about international student ministry, the open door to the nations. Hospitality is the open door to international students. I'm going to tell you a couple stories. This is a story from my friend Abdul. He's no longer living, but when he came to study in the United States for his PhD, he came from Afghanistan. And we know the trouble that Afghanistan has gone through. And I don't know if you realize that I shared a little story from the church that was destroyed in Afghanistan, that there's no open church, there's no open believers in Afghanistan, 99.9% of Afghans are Muslims, there is no open witness in Afghanistan. And he came from that background to study in the United States. And he was lonely. And he left his family, his wife and children in Afghanistan, and he would go to school, and even though he was well-known in his country, he was a top-ranking translator, government officials from other countries would come, he would translate for them, He was nobody here. He'd go to class, come home, cook a simple meal for himself. As an Afghan man, he was not used to cooking. His wife did all the cooking. Here he was trying to survive on his cooking. And so when he learned that we had an opportunity to go to someone's home for a meal, he eagerly signed up. And the family invited him over. The family did what we don't recommend, which was to invite a Muslim to church the first time. They said, "We go to church on Sunday. Would you come to church with us and then come home for a meal?" And he didn't want to go to church, but he really wanted to go home for the meal. So he said, I'll bear it. So he went to church, went home, and they spent the afternoon together talking about their families, talking about the situation in his hometown. And he said, told me that this was the best day in the United States. And so when the family said, "Would you like to come back next week?" he said, "I'll come to church with you every week if I can come to your home afterwards." And so that became their practice. Abdul would go to their home every week. They spend the afternoon together. It became his home away from home. And he started being influenced by that family. He saw the love in that family. He saw the way, as believers, they lived. He saw the way they prayed. And he then got interested spiritually. He joined my Bible discussion group. And together with the influence of that family and the study of the scriptures, Abdul decided to follow Christ. And Abdul decided he wanted to read the Bible in his own language, which was Dari. The translation that was done at that time, you know, they couldn't get Afghans to help them translate the Bible into Dari. So somebody studied Dari and translated it, but usually translators work very closely with people in the culture to do translation. That's not what happened. So when Abdul read it, he said, "This is a really rough translation." And so he was used by God to retranslate the New Testament into his language. And he then began to make tape broadcasts with the Far East Broadcasting Company to broadcast the gospel in Afghanistan. But it was hospitality that opened the door. If you went up to Abdul and said, "Hey, can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus," he would shut down. But when he was loved and he was welcomed into that family, it opened the door to his heart. Brothers and sisters, if we want to see a revolution in world missions, if we want to see the gospel to all the nations, one of the best things we could do is just welcome the international students that God has sent to us into our homes. He sent us close to us. Now all we have to do is welcome them. I believe God would call many of you to do that during this time, that this is your call to practice hospitality. And I'll make it easy for you. Say, "Well, how would I do that? Would I walk up to someone in a grocery store and say, 'Hi, you know, where are you from?'" Well, that's what our ministry does, is to try and make the introductions to international students, to make it easier for you. Although I mentioned yesterday that there's some cities that don't have anybody leading a ministry to international students. And maybe somebody here is going to be prompted by the Spirit this week to say, "Hey, I would like to see about starting something in my town. And I would love to talk to you about that." Okay, what I'd like to do is show you the perspective from a student's standpoint. I've told you some stories, but I want to have a student tell a story. My friend Lily from China is going to talk to you about her experience with hospitality when she came to the United States. So enjoy listening to this story.
"Even think the United States is my spiritual birthplace. I really love your country and your people. You know what? I can never forget that day when I just arrived at the airport of Columbus, Ohio. I saw a gentleman with two beautiful girls on his side, and they were holding a board with my name on it. I was so surprised. And then the next thing happened, they took me to their home for a whole week. And they took me to be oriented in the university and to their church and to the International Student Fellowship. And took me to go shopping and go to different restaurants. That week was just amazing to me. I had to move my apartment. I moved to a new apartment and to share this apartment with a Chinese girl. You know what? That Chinese girl was so surprised that she was so generous with me Because on the day I moved, I had every kind of furniture. My host family just helped me move so many furniture in. Oh. So even myself was just so touched. So I told them, you know, I bought an engine. I think I'm very lucky. Maybe I'm the luckiest person in the world. But they told me, no, Dan, we think that God loves you very much. Really? Deep in my heart, I thought to myself, well, a Western God will love me? Is that possible? But that kind of love, this kind of unconditional love I saw from my host family, kind of caused the curiosity about God in me. And in the following months, I started to experience the leading step by step by Lord Jesus. Until 5 months later, when I decided I should follow Jesus, when I told my host family, I was so surprised because they were in tears. They told me, Billy, you know, even before you arrived in Columbus, we have started praying for you. You know, one day, Lord Jesus will save you. I'm so thankful that I can have such a good host family. And I'm so thankful that HiFi is the organization helping me a lot. It's IFI who introduced me to this host family. And also it was IFI led me to the international fellowship, and I was even baptized through IFI. I was even discipled by IFI. Now when I'm in China, I have been serving the Lord for many years. I still think that there is no other job more glorious than serving the eternal God. And there is no greater joy than leading people to Christ and see them grow in Christ. So I'm so thankful to you guys, and I want to say thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to me, and thank you for giving to the internationals, especially our Chinese students. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Story. I've been able to visit Lily in China with her husband a couple times and see the work that she's doing. It's incredible. Hospitality was the key. You getting the message? Getting it? Let me tell you another story about, I don't know if it was a missed opportunity or not, but here's a family. I talked yesterday, maybe you're in some small town somewhere that's a rural place. Well, this family that's pictured here lived in Muscatine, Iowa. They saw an announcement that there was some international visitors coming to Muscatine that were studying agriculture, and would they open their homes to host them? And this family said yes, and the man on the far right is the man they hosted, and the man on the far left was the interpreter, because the person they hosted, his English was not very good. But they had a conversation around the table, and then this is the person who ended up being. This is Xi Jinping, the current president of China. And I always wondered, is that family, were they a Christian family? Did they tell the future president of China about Jesus? I, don't think so. Well, I don't know if he, maybe they did, maybe he didn't receive the message. This is him with another family that was involved in him when he was in Iowa. This is when he returned in 2012. Xi Jinping visited Muscatine, Iowa, so he could come and say thank you to those families who hosted him. And this is the invitation when the family went to China. They had a personal banquet in their honor, and they had a one-hour personal meeting with the president of China because of the hospitality they showed. I wondered, did they tell him about Jesus during that 1 hour if they were Christians? If it was me, I would have done it. But I'm just saying this, you know, if you know anything about China today, there's a lot of restrictions going on against Christians. There's persecution that's at a highest level since the Cultural Revolution. And, you know, I talked yesterday about the strategic importance of this ministry reaching leaders before they become leaders. So that was, I don't know what the background on Xi Jinping. Okay, I want to do one more thing. I want to show you one more video. I showed you the perspective from the student. Now I want to show you the perspective from a family who does hospitality. I want you to hear how it blesses a family. So let's go ahead and show that next video.
When students come and stay at our house, they become kind of like our brothers or our sisters, and they're kind of like our family.
I was fun with playing with my friend.
Tasting our spicy food.
I had very fun with one of our students going sledding and helping him with his English homework.
I'm Andy Hayes.
And I'm Erin Hayes.
We live in Columbus, Ohio, and we heard about IFI through our church.
Once we started getting involved with IFI, we were asked last summer if we would be willing to host a student in our home.
So all three of our students were during the pandemic. We just took our time, thought about it, prayed about it, and decided that this is what God would have us do, even in the middle of a pandemic. We were able to just love on people the way the Bible tells us to. And at the same time, we get to learn about different cultures.
We've watched students see snow for the first time, or hummingbirds for the first time, or skunks for the first time. Our one student held a baby for the first time while she was with us.
So there was lots of gospel sharing opportunities while the students were here. The best way we did that was, first off, we just folded them into our families. We didn't try to do make it seem like we had everything together. We literally just had them come and eat with us, and they got to see the way we walked our Christian life, but they also got to see how we interacted with our children and how there's messiness in life and there's brokenness, and that we got to just respond to that with love and grace and try to live our lives as the Bible tells us. And that was an amazing opportunity for us. And then outside of that, we actually got to physically share the gospel with them.
If we had morning Bible time, you know, I would ask the students questions after reading a Bible passage. I'm asking my five-year-old and I'm asking the student. And so it's just a way for them to feel involved and a way for them to learn. They were here for our, you know, bedtime prayers and, you know, bedtime Bible stories and things like that. And one student was even here for our backyard Bible club.
It's neat what IFI is doing, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're able to train up and evangelize to people from countries that they can never go to,
right,
in the first place, and then they can send those people back to that country, mm-hmm. and they can spread the gospel with knowing the culture and the language, and mm-hmm. that's really neat. It's really cool. We would really encourage people to volunteer for IFI and host students. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing to the student. It's a blessing to your family. It lets you just go out and actually live out the gospel.
Let's see. Am I on? Good. Okay. All right. So I want to have some question and answer time now about our ministry, but hopefully you got one of these passports. And we have a display table in the back with a sign-up sheet. So I'd like you to prayerfully consider getting involved in ministry to international students. You could pray about it. You could pray for us. That's one way you could get involved. You could receive our newsletter with tips on hosting and so forth. But if you would like to you know, consider, hey, how could I, put me in touch with an international student in my city. Or if you want to put a note down to say, hey, we could host during holidays. We live in a small town. If international students can come out, they could spend Thanksgiving with us. There's many ways of getting involved. So if you could look at this passport, you know, usually you need a passport to go to the out of the country, but this is a passport unique because it works with the people who come here, and look at the different ways of being involved, and then fill out the card, put it on the table, or go put anything down there that you want on the sheet to let me know. I think I was meeting some people yesterday that were sharing some stories of things that they were doing, and there, I could just see lots of ways we could connect. So, all right, we have a few minutes left. So who has a question out of what you've seen, what you've heard today about our ministry? I'm going to go into depth tonight about how we disciple international students. I'm going to talk about the returnees that have gone back and some stories from them, and then I'm going to talk about how we're innovating during COVID. So who's got a question? I hope somebody does. Or what would you like to know more about? I can always tell more stories, but yes. Were you the person who asked the question yesterday? Oh, okay. It's that section, though. It's the back section here. Yes. Okay. She's asking, what are the challenges of being involved with international students? Well, there's many challenges. One challenge is that if they're coming for a master's or PhD program, they tend to be very busy, so we have to catch them during the key periods when they're free. It's not like they have a lot of time, so that's sometimes a challenge to be able to connect with them. Most of the students are coming from cultural backgrounds where their family tradition or the way they're seen, like you heard Lily say, hey, they're telling me about a Western God. So that was the perspective that she had about Christianity. It was a Western religion, and who they were, the gospel was being presented to her, she thought it's a Western God. So people come from a lot of barriers from their cultural and religious backgrounds that don't make it easy for them to come to Christ. But that's true, you know, if you go overseas and talk to someone or someone comes here. But you heard how Lily in 5 months overcame those barriers. Abdul overcame tremendous barriers. But those are challenges that require us. We mustn't think that this is a quick thing. We have to love internationals unconditionally whether or not they come to Christ. It's not a transactional thing. It's a way of us loving people in the name of Jesus and trusting that God is going to work. Other challenges. Sometimes there are cultural challenges. For example, in many cultures, it's impolite to say no. And so if you don't understand that and you invite an international student, they might say yes, but their yes really means no. So figuring out when their yes is a maybe and when their yes is a yes and when it's a no, that's a challenge. So there are ways, that's part of our training, to decode a yes when a yes is a no. Those are some examples. Yes. Yes. So I think the family that you saw hosted, the children in the family, I think they adopted, and so those were their own children, and they were all involved. I mean, I guess that shows their heart as a family. But by the way, most of the time when we do friendship with international students, it's not the students living in the home. It's visiting the home, although if people want to have them overnight, or especially when they first come, they often need temporary housing for a few days. Yesterday, in my email, there's a guy from Pakistan who I'm going to be helping when he to find a host when he comes. He just wrote to me saying, oh, can you help my friend who's also coming? And so there's a need initially when they arrive, and then, but usually it's just having them over for a meal, having them participate. If your children are doing sports, then when you go watch the sports event, you bring the student along with you. That's the way you build the relationship. Yes?
Do you train on kinds of food that you can serve to different students? Like,
yes, we do.
You mentioned meatloaf, but
yes.
If they're from India, they probably want to eat cow. And
that's right.
If they're Muslim, they probably want
yes.
to eat the right way.
Yes, if somebody wants to do this ministry, we don't assume that you know how to do it. And there are some basics in terms of communication and respecting cultural differences. So we provide a basic hour, it's about an hour and a half training that goes through things like that, what dietary restrictions you need to be aware of, how to ask good questions, you know, being able to be aware of what the experience of international students is like. So we kind of prep you, and then we have some ongoing trainings for people who get involved. If you want to know more specifically about Chinese culture or how to work with Indian students, then we provide that type of help. But yes, we want to train you to be able to be successful in doing it. That's a good question. Yes? Yes, our trainings are online. Of course, we offer in-person ones in the locations where we have ministries, and it's nice to do things in person because you can interact like this. But we do have online training that you can take, so it makes it easier watching it when you're free. You don't have to come to a specific time or location. And the way we meet students, we partner with a lot of culture clubs that are on campus, and students, when they're coming to study in the United States, if they're Indian students, there's usually an Indian Student Association that they know is on campus, and they'll contact the Indian Student Association. And the Indian Student Association, like right now, is asking our organization in Columbus to help them with the new Indian students that are arriving. We also sponsor like a welcome activity. When was it in the video? It's gonna be in the video tomorrow. One of the students says when he was coming out during his orientation on the campus, we were handing out flyers inviting them to our welcome activities. So there's many ways we go about it. But those are some of the ways we do it. Yeah. Yes. Not very common. It used to be that the students would come for a period of studying English before they started their academic program. That has decreased a lot. Students are often studying English for a long time in their countries before they come. But certain countries, like Indians, don't need much help with their English, although they find it frustrating when they come to the United States sometimes because of their accent or their pronunciation with English. Sometimes Americans have difficulty understanding, and they are bothered by that because they say, I'm speaking English, why can't you understand me? But, you know, it's just getting used to sometimes. Any accent, you got to get used to listening to it. The majority of students, though, don't have a lot of practice with conversational English. So even though they've studied English a long time, they haven't been with native speakers, and so they're a little bit nervous or cautious sometimes. And, you know, having an American friend who's patient enough with them to listen and allow them to translate in their mind in a second language is a wonderful gift, because Americans usually don't have that type of time that they give to an international student to be patient enough to listen to them. But in terms of understanding international students, most of them, their English is at a level where you can understand. The video wasn't very good in terms of the quality because it wasn't a professional video, so the tone might have been off, but Lily is a good example. I mean, you could understand her English, and most students you would be able to understand their English. So don't let that be a barrier, but they really want to practice their spoken English. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes. There are a number of international families who come who, of course, have then special needs as a family. And if they're going through, if you can imagine, you know, having a child here when you're not familiar with the whole birthing system or the hospital system, you know, so having a woman alongside is really critical. When people have parenting questions, many times if a Christian family is available, that is a tremendous open door for Christians to minister. I mean, the family ministry is huge. I would say the majority of students come as single. About 50% of international students are undergrads, and most of them are not married. Of the grad students who come, especially the PhDs, a number of them will have families. So if you're interested in ministering to a whole family as opposed to an individual, you can ask for that. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Good, thank you for asking that question. So I guess in the world that we live today, and what we hear in the press sometimes makes us a little bit cautious and concerned, maybe about people from other cultures. But we know, of course, love drives out fear. The fact is, the vetting process that international students go through before arriving in the United States is very extensive. Not only do they have to pass background checks from the U.S. government, but there's other requirements. They're well vetted before they come to the United States. Now, that's obviously, there's no guarantee, but I think that international students have the same questions about us. They wonder if it's going to be safe going to our home. And, you know, so there's a risk on both sides in some way, and I think we have to count that risk to be able to say, I think the risk is so small, but, you know, whenever you love people, there are risks involved. You know, there's different levels of risks. You can have stuff spilled on your carpet. You can have some, you know, cultural thing that goes wrong. But I tell you, the opportunity is so great, and the command of God is so clear that we should overcome by faith and by love any of the risks that are involved. But there is a vetting process. Yes. Okay. Last question then. Yes. Yeah. The phenomenon of international students is that they end up in colleges and universities that I've never heard about, and community colleges that I didn't even know existed. I don't know how they found out about it, but there's so many international students there spread so far that even in small colleges, you'll find international students. Now, during the pandemic, one of the things that happened is the smaller colleges, particularly the students kind of disappeared because many of them, when they went home, they couldn't get back. And so we're looking for this fall to be a rebound time for international students coming in. But during the normal times, almost every college in America has some international students in them. And they're there. You have to look for them. Sometimes they're hidden. And there are other ways like that we can tell you how to find international students on your campus if they're there. Okay, well, thank you so much for the interest in our ministry. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll be released. Lord, thank you so much for your love and grace in our lives and the way that you're giving us an opportunity to reach the nations that have come to us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I know they don't need another thing to do in their lives, but I know that you want to use us as your people to spread the gospel among the nations. So would you speak to each person here, each family here, about what you'd have them do in response to your call to hospitality? In Jesus' name, amen. We love to answer questions and you stop by the table, okay?
Thank you, Rich. Give you a